Hi, Hannah. This is...
So I'm talking with Paul McElroy, the interim CEO of JEA. Paul, how long did you work at JEA previously?
Previously, I was employed for 16 and a half years.
And when did you become CEO?
I became CEO in the fall of 2012 and retired in the spring of 2018.
What were some of the highlights while you were at JEA?
Well, there were a number of them. We were very proud of our improvement in customer satisfaction as measured by J.D. Power and Associates. When we first started in 2012, our customers did not have a good perception of JEA service and involvement in the community, and we were able to improve the residential customer ranking from almost last in the country. I believe the number is 116 out of 121, up to the top quartile, so in the top 20 in standing in a three and a half year period. So this was a terrific move, and it was engagement of all the employees to drive our customer satisfaction, performance, and loyalty. On the commercial side, we actually moved up to number one in the country as rated by J.D. Power and Associates for commercial accounts against 90 other utilities, electric utilities, and that included the largest utilities in the country and some other municipals as well. So that was a great accomplishment. We also paid down an enormous amount of debt and improved the financial health of the utility. I think that was witnessed by one of the rating agencies providing the water system an actual AAA rating in terms of its credit and performance. Our environmental footprint continued to improve during that period of time. Continued to improve both from the wastewater treatment in terms of nitrogen release, and basically our river became healthier. In terms of air quality, we had very significant plans that were implemented reducing the CO2 emissions in our area. And that was primarily driven by the closure of the SJRPP coal plant, but also taking advantage of our gas generating capacity. We also made a commitment to increasing our solar footprint, and that will be coming on next year, online next year, beginning in 2021 and into 2022. 250 megawatts of solar, which is a major investment for our community and will put us up near the top as far as community-owned solar. And those are three big things. Nuclear will also play a very big role in terms of CO2 reduction in the future. So those are three big things that we're probably most proud of. I would add one more, actually. I think what we were able to do is to engage the entire employee population towards our strategic goals of earning everyday customer loyalty, of delivering business excellence, and developing and nurturing and growing a great team. So those were our three primary objectives through the 5.5 years I was CEO, and I think we've got a number of metrics that support that we were successful in each one of those areas.
Now, what would you say was the biggest issue during your term? What was one thing that you found to be either difficult or something that, you know, looking back on, you say, oh, I could have fixed that differently?
That's a good question. I would say that, thinking that, reflecting back on that period of time, it was a great team from our management through the our total employees fully embraced every challenge that we had on the horizon and worked to create solutions for our community that not only increased reliability but also improved the financial health. So there really is not any one big issue that we felt that we were unable to address, or that really in the future gave us major concerns that we as JEA and the employees of JEA, and we as Jacksonville, our community, really couldn't embrace and be successful in.
Now let's transition that over to 2018 when you decided to retire. Why did you decide to leave at that point?
Well, at that point, the community was had just finished up an external assessment of the value of JEA. We had run 5.5 years of great success and creating a lot of value in terms of the JEA. Its employees were fully engaged from the top and across the entire organization. We had achieved financial success, environmental success, and employee engagement success, customer satisfaction success. So, in a way, I had the great privilege of leading the organization that achieved all of the very challenging goals we established in 2012-2013, and had come to the end of my contract, which was going to be in the end of 18. It had offered to extend the contract, but it appeared there was not a strong desire for that at that point in time from the board, and therefore decided it was time for me, given my age and the ability to retire, that I would go on and enjoy retirement. And I have done so with my wife and family over the last couple of years to great success.
Now, I know also during that time that talk of privatization for JEA was starting to rise up. What were your thoughts back then and even now about JEA becoming privatized?
Well, I think when you said back then, I think if we do the reference point there, I think you're referring back to the early 2018.
Yes.
And if that's the case, that was driven by a board member who has suggested looking at privatization in late 17. I and management was charged directly by the then chair in December to seek out a firm to provide the board with an evaluation with respect to the value of JEA. This was something that had been done previously with the council auditor and with JEA working with the council auditor at least two times in my experience with JEA, and this was the third time. We performed that report, intended to deliver it to our board in early February. It was changed to be delivered to the city council, and from my perspective, our charge was to my charge and our charge at the time was to get the information, have somebody prepare the report and deliver it to the policymakers, and for the policymakers, being sort of the board and absolutely the city council, to evaluate the findings in the report. And that was my role, and that's the role I tried to effectively execute with my time at JEA.
What did you personally think about the talks of privatization? Did you want to see JEA go into that direction?
I, I'm going to be direct at that time. My role was to do the work to provide the report. In terms of personally, I think JEA has a wonderful future ahead of it as public power. As a municipal water and sewer utility for the city and county of Jacksonville, Duval County, and surrounding counties. So I do not take the view of that has been expressed by some of the negativity and insurmountable challenges that JEA has in front of it. I believe that they were overstated. I believe that JEA has provided amazing value, not only directly in terms of utility services, but when you look at the amount of money that's retained to the tune of $800 to $900 million in our community, and then multiply that effect out. We've got tremendous economic value by retaining and growing and nurturing our public utility, public power utility, and water and sewer systems. Plus the fact, continuing to allow us as a community to coalesce around community goals with respect to air quality, and water supply. Those are very important and critical life-sustaining issues with respect to the future of our community. And to have our community have control of those is something that I think is priceless.
Now, when you said some were talking about it, did any of those people come from city council or from the mayor's office? Was there talks about that from them?
Well, I think I'm referring more to the reporting over the last 2 years of publicly available information of what was said. And I just say the common theme that might have been communicated from the management and the board during that period of time, and potentially some council members. I'm not really sure in terms of specific names at this point in time, but I think the theme coming out of JEA during the 2019 for sure, and into very very early 2020 was one of insurmountable challenges and negativity, and I think I disagree with that. I think the challenges are clearly, and the JEA team and employees have not only risen to the occasion to the challenges in the past, but have surpassed them and provided great value. And there are any number of those in the past. Going back 20 and 30 years, when JEA was reliant only on oil, rose to the occasion to build the coal facility, which provided great value to our community for decades from the electric side. When we were challenged in 1998 with respect to consent decrees on the wastewater system, basically looking to possibly shut down all economic development and growth, the folks at JEA put together an enormous plan to revitalize, reconstruct the entire water and wastewater system. And bring it to not only improve status, but status that goes well beyond the standards for the EPA in terms of wastewater treatment facilities. So when people look out in the future and don't have the knowledge and experience about how successful the JEA team has been in the past with what at the time were viewed as potential existential threats to the utility and possibly the community, but that folks at JEA and our community rallied around a message and a plan and executed better for it. So I don't really see any challenges on the future that are as big as those, and I think we'll be successful.
Now, fast forwarding to today, why did you decide to come back? I mean, especially during this pandemic, you were enjoying retirement. Why come back?
I witnessed from the distance the activities of JEA and the deterioration of its reputation and the morale of its people, and felt extremely disappointed and disheartened and sad for the employees. I think that in looking at where the utility was now with a new board, I can help restore public confidence in the utility as an outstanding utility because the foundation is still very strong. The foundation of JEA's operations and its people are still strong. And so we've got to communicate that clearly and openly and transparently. I believe that I can help start delivering the respect and nurturing and caring that our employees have earned through their commitment and standard of excellence over the last number of years, and felt it was quite frankly the least I could do based upon my 16 and a half year investment at JEA and all the great things we did and my investment in the community and living here in Duval County and in Jacksonville, that on an interim basis, if I can help this board be successful, if I can stabilize the organization, if I can look at helping get our costs right and help this board understand the cost structure and the businesses of JEA, as well as work with the board, not on a strategic plan, but strategic pathways that the board might fully evaluate with a full-time CEO and sort of a team going forward. It was an opportunity that I felt compelled to take advantage of, and I feel very good about that decision.
When did you get approached by the board or by any member of the board about the position?
I have been talking. People have been approaching me in the community really since I retired, but more so in the last probably since November, December timeframe, and into early January. And then those discussions sort of continued on and off. And so it's hard to pinpoint any particular time or place, but in terms of the new board, the conversation with the new board was right about the time, quite frankly, that the board took action at their meeting.
So have you brought anyone back from your former team to help out for the next 6 months? Or have you made any changes? I know I saw today that the interim chief compliance officer has been picked. Are there any other changes that you plan on making with your new team?
Well, directly, I've been able to encourage an offer, and three members gladly came back, retired members came back to help. Angie hires to help out with the human resource or personnel. And in the COVID environment, it's just critical, and that area has been overwhelmed with demand. Vicki Cavey helped me when we developed our strategic plan, both in terms of development and execution in 2013, 14, 15, and 16, till she retired. And Jerry Boyce, with respect to communications, external communications, has agreed to come back as well. So those three have come back to join me and will help in HR. Vicki with external strategic community affairs and issues. And Jerry with external communication. So I did announce yesterday that Steve Tutin, our long-term director of internal audit and risk management, will be filling the VP of compliance position. It's a critical position at JEA, and it's necessary for regulatory compliance to have somebody in that role. So it was critical, and Steve and I spoke, and he agreed to step up on an interim basis. That's it for now. We did have and have one senior executive that's been placed on administrative leave, and that's the sum of personnel moves at this point in time.
Is it odd not having Melissa Dykes as part of your team? I know she had a big part in your leadership team when you were last CEO. Is it weird not having her now?
I think it's different. Melissa was a critical member of the management team during the 5 years that I was CEO, but recognized that things change, and I would say it's certainly different.
Now, moving back to that, I know you can't talk too much about it, but Herschel Vineyard, you said he's still on paid leave, correct?
He's on administrative leave. Yes.
Was there a specific reason he was suspended, or is this a part of an overall cleaning house momentum that's going on at JEA?
The situation with Herschel is specific to Herschel, and the Office of General Counsel is working on the specific details and conversations with Herschel at this point in time. And as we have the attorneys involved, I think I'll just leave it at that.
Understood. Has there been any other difficulty so far with the transition between the previous leadership team and the current one?
No, actually, and I think that's one of the reasons I felt compelled to come back in to help at JEA, help the board, help the community, and help the employees. There are a few new projects, there's a few new initiatives, but by and large, when we get into the fundamentals, look at the foundation and the framework. Many of the employees are still the same and still performing in an outstanding fashion. So I was able to work with the existing team at this point in time to be brought up to speed in all the areas of the business in terms of its operations. It's short-term challenges, it's midterm challenges and opportunities and some of the strategic opportunities that we're looking at. So I think so far the transition's been well received, and the direction and support of the board has been fantastic.
Now, I know 6 months isn't a lot of time, but what are your goals for JEA during this sort of critical transition?
The list is probably longer than this, but one is to communicate clearly and often that the fundamentals of JEA remain strong. Its financial health, its balance sheet, its operating cash flows, it is a very healthy, viable organization, and its ratings and view from external accountants and analysts support that evaluation. So want us to communicate that we've got a very strong, healthy asset to support our utility operations in our community. Number two, we need to really look at our budget and really what's happened in the last couple of years in terms of the cost structure. Help the board understand that and look towards any adjustments that we might be able to make in the short term to allow us to be more competitive. And then thirdly, to work on some strategic pathways. There are some decisions that need to be made in the short and mid-range, and the fact with my knowledge that I have of those initiatives to be able to craft proposals for the board to consider over the next 6 months, whether they make the decision now or put that off to a time in the future. I think those initiatives and having the knowledge that I have, sharing it and transferring it to the board in terms of strategic pathways will be important to achieve and accomplish over the next 6 months as well. I think working with the employees to provide them with the respect and openness and sort of clarify our code of behavior and really looking to get the entire workforce engaged back through not necessarily the tasks and the daily operations, because they've been doing exceptional at that, but in terms of the longer-term thinking and how we can make sure that we're positioned well for the future and we can address any opportunities in the future as they come forward.
Now, like you said, one of the big takeaways I know from your previous term as CEO was a push to limit debt. How do you plan to do that while also keeping consumer rates stable, like you were saying in the last board meeting last week?
Well, at this point in time, the financial plan is in place to continue to pay down debt as scheduled, and there may be some opportunities, financing opportunities, that allow us to further reduce debt, and we're looking at those plans right now. The market rates and at this point in time, it's an extraordinary time in the market, and it may give us some opportunities to refinance some debt and to lower interest costs as we go forward. So we're looking at a lot of different opportunities for that, and there are a number of them out there that we can and will execute in the future. But I feel comfortable we'll still be able to achieve both lowering debt and maintaining rates in the short term.
What specific steps will you be taking to rebuild community trust, and how long do you expect that to take?
Number one response to that is that I don't have an objective or a strategy to rebuild trust. I have objectives and strategies to restore confidence and to reassure the community and deliver results in reliable service delivery, empathetic customer support, and working with our team to make them feel wanted and appreciated, and encourage them to become involved even at the way they were back prior to 2018. I think by demonstrating those and communicating these things to the broad public, and I'll be speaking as much and as often as I can, restoring the faith and confidence and executing our reliability plans, delivering service, empathetic service, and encouraging our employees that we love them and the community loves them, and that was demonstrated, quite frankly, over the last couple years, and keep that going, then we will be in a position to have earned the trust of the community and of our customers.
All right. Thank you so much for taking time to talk to me.
All right. Thanks, Hannah. Have a great day.
All right, you too.